All right, it's another Monday night and you are in the zone. Actually, it's Wednesday night and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. It all kind of mashes in together nowadays, turning into winter slowly but surely. And hopefully you stayed dry today. But we will talk to you here for the next hour or so, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight, another NFL weekend. Colts back on the docket as they go down to Atlanta. We'll have the broadcast for you here Sunday starting at noon with pregame kickoff at 1 o'clock. No Andrew Luck for the next month at least with a lacerated kidney and a torn abdominal muscle. So it's the Matt Hasselbeck show. And we will see what has to happen if something happens to him. And let's just pray it doesn't for the time being. Another college football weekend fresh ahead of us. We'll have Michigan at Penn State on Saturday for you, starting at 11:30 for pregame here on WGCL. And, of course, the Hoosiers head out to Maryland, needing two more victories to become bowl eligible the old-fashioned way. A lot of articles popping up now that some 5-7 teams might get bowl games. And that a long way to be decided for that. But
got Hoosiers, 5 wins yet?
Hoosiers just need to get to win. Exactly right.
Got 5 wins yet?
You got to get to 5 before you can get to 6.
That's
you got to
exactly
get
right.
to 5 before even 5-7 becomes an option.
That's exactly right. None of those are done in stone yet or carved in ink. And the opportunity is there. And a team that doesn't win very many road football games is going to have to win 2 in a row, yep. Or 1 out of 2, and the tiebreak I've heard is has to do with APR, and Indiana has one of their best in 11 years, and that's yep. what's going to push us up that ladder if that ladder is necessary. So at one point, everybody's going to play in a bowl game. It's going to be like a high school sectional, and it's not going to matter at some point.
Much.
So, but until you get there, you're not there, and that's the big focus for Indiana. You've got to – it's one quarter, you win the first quarter, then you win the second quarter, then you win the third quarter, and heaven forbid – you show up and play
don't
and win the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
You can't do it again.
Don't do that.
You can't do it again.
And a little while later in the show, we'll preview IU and Creighton as the Hoosiers are 2-0 on the hardwood. But first, as we mentioned, football need to go to Maryland. Maryland banged up, certainly, without their head coach now. Mike Locksley took over for Randy Edsall in midseason. They are reeling at this point. So heading into College Park, it's a younger team, graduated a lot of players off their defense. It's a team that's in a lot of disarray, honestly, at this point in time. Lost big at Michigan State, and that's a banged-up Michigan State team. But, Glass, I mean, the good news here for the Hoosiers is that they do have two road games. Winning on the road in the Big Ten, I don't care who you're going up against, is not easy. But at the very least, right now, the last two games you've gotten, the last two shots you've got, are not against the top teams in the league, which you seem to have faced almost every week going through this entire season. So as far as the opportunity is concerned, at least it appears on paper like you're reasonably evenly matched and you're not trying to push that boulder up a hill talent-wise.
No, you're not, but just like with everything else, you have to go out there and play it, and you have to go out there and do it. And don't think for a minute that Maryland is just going to roll over and decide they're not going to play. They played Michigan State very competitively last weekend at Michigan State. They only lost in scoring points, so they only lost 24-7. Again, lost 31-24 to Wisconsin. At Iowa, lost 31-15. They're not terrible.
No, nobody's terrible in the Big Ten.
They're not, and that's the thing you got to remember. And with a brand new coach, who knows? Is he going to be back? Is he not going to be back? It'd be nice if they'd tell us before the game they're going to mail in the season and be done with it. That'd be helpful, but that's not how it works anymore. You have to go out and play. And Maryland, they turn the ball over all the time. That's the good news. So Indiana's defense hopefully can start making some plays on that side of the ball again. We know what the secret to success is for Indiana's team. It's not hard to figure out. The defense has to do something. They can't be bystanders. They can't be pedestrians. They've got a team that turns it over all the time. That's helpful. But again, when Maryland recruited these kids, they were in the ACC. It's not like it was they just put their program together 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. You got kids there that can kind of play. But if you wanted to close the season out, Dave, and you wanted to do it against two teams in the Big Ten this year, you couldn't ask for anything better than Purdue and Maryland.
No, and again, it's all on paper.
Better.
You still got, like you said, you got to play it.
But that's the thing.
At least you have that.
And that's the locker room part of it that you can hold to, is you're not going on the road to finish at Ohio State, at Wisconsin.
Right.
You're not going to Ann Arbor, to Michigan State to finish. You're finishing with the two worst teams, arguably, in the conference. Mm-hmm. That doesn't include Indiana's six-game losing streak. How many has Maryland lost in a row? I can't count that high.
Seven? It is 7 in a row.
Okay.
They lost by 1 to Penn State on a neutral location. They lost by 16 to Iowa. They lost by 7 to Wisconsin.
So they've been close too.
They're not, like you said, they're not a bad team. They're not a good team, but they're not a bad team. They've got some talent, and certainly, as you mentioned, 31 points 3 weeks in a row, and then 24 to Michigan State. Look,
everybody's scoring 30 points nowadays. They've had their best performances after they fired their coach after the Ohio State game.
Yeah, so their two wins are Richmond and South Florida. No, I'm not going there.
No, it's not. But after they fired them, Ohio State, they lose by 1. They're in the game with Iowa. They're in the game with Wisconsin, and they're in the game for most of the game.
Penn State by 1.
There you go. So they're in it. So, again, a team that – all you have to know about Maryland is they got the coach fired in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
That's all you got to know about them.
They're just that good.
But if you don't beat them, then you're essentially doing the same thing to your coach.
Yeah, it's pretty well done at that point.
If you cannot beat a 2-8 team that's lost 7 games in a row with an interim head coach, you have issues.
Well, nobody can argue that you're close if you make it close against the better teams, and then you lay an egg on the road against a team that you have a legitimate chance to beat.
Games. And that's going
to
be
it's not a given. I mean, don't anybody here that it's a given you go to Maryland and win, or Purdue, by the way.
Here's the problem. If you cannot get up for teams in your weight class
when you need
a
win,
only get up for
when you desperately need
a win. Big teams, after buys, at home, whatever your excuse is.
Yeah.
This is the games. These are the games that will shape a contract extension or a coaching search. And I don't think that's telling any tales out of school. I don't think it's the right way to do it, but I think that's what's going to happen. I don't think this is a year you go look for a new football coach. There's too many jobs open. There's too many programs. There's two jobs open in the league.
I don't think you go 0-8 in the Big Ten and then
in year five
and start demanding that extensions need to happen.
I think in a perfect world, the extension would be it because it is close. But if you cannot beat a team, it's lost 7 straight. And how many wins does Purdue have? 2?
Not many.
3? Who have they beaten? They had a great – who'd they win against?
Well, give me a second.
Illinois thumped them at home.
They Purdue were close to Michigan 2-8, State. 1-5 in the Big Ten. They have beaten Indiana State and Nebraska at Purdue.
They beat Nebraska was their big win.
That was the scoring game, 100-point scoring
55-45.
That's right.
If I'm remembering that correctly out loud. How many wins in the Big Ten's Indiana have?
0. They're 0-6.
Okay. You want to make the argument Purdue plays an easier division? I'll listen to it. I will. I think that's fair.
I don't know that we beat Nebraska.
I didn't say that.
We could be competitive with them. No, I'm just saying that. That's their win.
But, but again, playing 3 top 10 teams, 4 top 14 teams. Okay.
Heck, I think Purdue's closer than Maryland.
I'm just throwing out there what's going on right now. Team's got 1 win in the league. Maryland has how many wins in the league?
0.
Okay. That's what you're facing in the final 2 weeks.
You're facing yourself.
That's what you're facing across the ball in the final 2 weeks. And it's a very, very simple solution. I argued this when the season started, and I'm going to argue it again. When the season's over, that's when you look back and you say, hey, what happened? Not now, not after the Rutgers game, not after the play calling at Michigan, not after the almost against Ohio State. If you're 6-6 at the end of the season and it gets you to a bowl game, what did you say before the season? That's a good year.
6-6, yeah, exactly.
It's a good year. And the devil is always in the details, but when you look back on the 28th day of November, about 4:15 in the afternoon, if Indiana has lost 8 straight games to close out the season with a healthy senior quarterback, a healthy stud national-type player running back, I don't know what the answer is going to be to that question. And whether that's my opinion, it is. What the facts are behind it, I have no idea. That's going to be a decision for someone else to make, and that decision will be made by Fred Glass. And he can argue, Dave, there is no decision to make. He has a 7-year contract. There's 2 years left. What do you want me to do? I don't have to say anything.
Again, 0-8 in the Big Ten would be awfully
hard to argue.
To argue for. There's no question about that. And you
has there been progress? Absolutely.
Well, there's been progress.
But if progress is measured in wins and losses.
0-8 doesn't look like progress to a lot of people. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is a phone number. Got a whole mess of football going on this weekend. We'll tell you all about it in a little while. But talking IU football right now, they go to Maryland noon on Saturday. It's on the BTN. And Hoosiers need two wins to get to 6-6, and that's their Magic Bowl eligibility number.
And it's noon on Saturday against Purdue at Purdue, the final game. That's why I said 4:15 on a
yes,
final
both
Saturday.
Both of them on BTN.
And there you go.
333-2665 is our phone number. Let's bring in John. How you doing, John?
Hello, John.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
Okay,
man.
I got a question. I would have called, like I told Mike off the air, I would have asked this Monday, but I went to the basketball game, so I didn't have an opportunity to call.
Oh, we can double dip you on basketball and football. Nice. nice.
In the first half of the Michigan game, Nate Sudfeld had to run down a fumble, and he got on it and covered it, and he was speared by a Michigan player.
Three steps and a spear.
That was a clear late hit, and they threw the flag. They picked the flag up, and Indiana didn't get the penalty, which was a huge, huge deal. I wondered, did you, either one of you ever hear what the rationale was for picking up the flag and not calling something they clearly saw that actually happened, which was a late hit?
I saw Fred Glass yesterday,
fumble,
and he didn't have it.
When there is a fumble, there is leeway to guys piling on.
Three steps now, is not leeway.
I have a hard time believing that taking three steps. Well, I'm just telling you the rule. When the ball hits the ground, it's a bit of a free-for-all. My opinion is I don't think you should be able to run three steps when you see clear recovery and jump on the guy. Now, I don't think he actually speared him with his helmet, but he certainly jumped all over him after taking three steps.
Here's
with the ball
the point.
Clearly taken by Nate Sudfeld before those three steps
there
were taken.
Nobody
so
in, no,
that part's
there
a
was nobody in 5 yards around Nate Sudfeld. He was in the shotgun. He fumbled it, whatever it was.
Right.
And the defensive player, when he saw Sudfeld jump on it, took two steps and dove into him. Now,
After it had been clearly recovered, and that's the important
the
part, it had been covered right like that. It wasn't bouncing around, because that would be okay.
The defensive player does not know the rules, and neither does the referee, and that's a terrible decision. Yeah. It is a judgment call.
He threw the flag.
And the judgment of him picking up the flag and saying that's not a penalty is absolutely irresponsible and terrible. And you know what, John? That's Indiana football in one play.
That is my point. I mean, if he hadn't thrown a flag in the first place, I'd say, okay, that was
he just missed
and,
it,
and he just missed it.
Right.
But they saw something; it clearly happened and
immediately.
I thought, I said to the person next to me because he was yelling louder than I was. I said, "This is a Michigan rule. If Michigan does something illegal, it's not going to get caught."
He threw it immediately,
I wasn't kidding either.
Threw the flag immediately, and Harbaugh went ballistic on his sideline. Again, there is a rule that says if the ball's on the ground, and I don't know exactly what the wording is from there, but it essentially allows it to be a bit of a free-for-all. You can jump all over the place. You can do different things. But it's clear from the replay, Sudfeld has immediate recovery when he's on the ground.
And
the guy takes two or three steps and jumps on his back.
Yep.
And not lightly. I mean, this isn't I'm gonna pat you down.
It's not the NFL where you can get up and run.
Exactly.
So the guy throws the flag because he knows the rule, and Jim Harbaugh talks him out of it. That's Indiana football in one play.
Yeah.
It's Indiana football. You don't get any breaks. Instead of having first and goal at the 5 or whatever it was, it's 4th and 18. You're kicking a field goal. And that's 4 points you could have really, really used down the road that at least you would have had a chance to get. But that didn't win or lose us the game. But, no, we did not hear an explanation as of why Kevin Wilson on a 6-game losing streak cannot be the focus of anything. He cannot talk about that, and I'm glad he's not.
Yeah.
That cannot be brought up. That's just bad old IU luck. John, I stand in the north end zone for the games, and I'm looking over the referee's shoulder, and when I can see white jerseys on red grabbing around necks and grabbing around when they're clear to the quarterback, I'm looking at the same thing the referee is, and for whatever reason, Indiana doesn't get the rub of the green there. That hasn't been the problem totally in the 6-game losing streak, but it sure doesn't help anything.
No, it doesn't help.
Well, I was just wondering, because I wondered if there was any explanation.
Yeah, if Indiana was 8-0 and that happened, you'd probably make a stink about it like Nebraska and Michigan State. You probably want some answers on that. But
the answer is there's a different rule for when the ball hits the ground.
The reason is why the flag is picked up, and that's completely absolutely terrible.
They didn't see something. They thought they saw something, and then for whatever reason Jim Harbaugh's job is to try to do everything he can for his team, but the referee's job is to call what.
And if the side judge runs in from 45 yards away because it's on the opposite hash, if he runs in, the guy that's on front of the Michigan sideline, and tells the guy he saw it clearly and it was a good play, then you got problems. But again, that's not Indiana's problem. That was a bad call, and that was so early in the game. There were so many other factors that would determine the outcome in that game. But I get you. You see that, and you just think, why us? What did we do to deserve this?
John, you went to the game on Monday. Tell us what you've seen through two games here for the Hoosiers. What do you think on the hardwood?
Well, I think most people probably agree with this. Well, maybe not. I shouldn't presume that. This team has the highest ceiling of any IU basketball team since Calvert Cheney was a senior. I think they have tremendous talent. They have depth. I think they like playing together. I think the two things you don't know, one is, are they going to stay healthy? And let's hope and pray that they do. And can they guard people? And they're not going to be a shutdown defense. But for 4 or 5 minutes, and especially in Big Ten games, and second half especially, they're going to have to be able to lock some people up and keep people from getting into the lane wherever they want to get and get some defensive stops. If they can do that, they're going to be really, really, really good.
John, I asked this question at Glass the other day, and I was going to ask it again tonight. 23 turnovers the other night. Is their focus on defense to create turnovers over creating bad shots?
Probably. I would rather them just stay in front of people instead of getting the turnovers.
But, wouldn't we?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
with you.
Again, 23 turnovers led to 35 points or whatever it was. Does that matter? Is that better than being in front of a guy? Is that worse? I don't know.
I'll look at it another way and say that Vanderbilt held them to 41 points in 40 minutes, and they had 40 whatever at halftime. So there's different ways to do this. Indiana's best offense is score, score, and score some more, and then get a big enough lead where the other team, even if they hit 4 or 5 threes in a row, can't come back at you.
Look,
that's what it is.
You're not going to create 23 turnovers every game. It was the first time since 2011 that they did this. But
14 steals, a Tom Crean era.
Is creating turnovers as a focus on the defense is a legitimate defensive strategy, or would you prefer simply to make it hard on people? I don't know the answer to this. I'm asking.
Hard on people because you've got that rim protector now you did not have last year, and that helps a lot.
You have one rim protector. This is where I disagree with you on the Calvert Cheney teams. They had way more depth in the front court. They had way more beef on the front court. And what I don't see in this Indiana team yet, who's the toughest guy there? Who would you take in a fight? It's Yogi by a mile, and there's nobody at second.
That's right.
There's not. I don't know if this team's mean enough, John, to get into the guts of the Big Ten season and drag it out. That's why I think they have a very nice ceiling offensively. But you talk about Nover and Anderson and all those guys. Yeah. Oh, come on.
Anderson wasn't on that 93 team.
Anderson was on the year before that.
He was on the year before. They did not have a whole lot of depth.
What did they do in 92, John? They went to the Final Four. It's a good
team. Backup, and Anderson, and he got hurt, and then Nover and Calvert.
Yeah,
that was basically it. Pat Graham, if you could count on him for, you know.
Which is not.
That team was deep and balanced, and I think that's the key. We don't know how deep and balanced this team really is.
Colin Hartman has not shown us a healthy season yet.
Thomas Bryant got taken advantage of by Austin Peay's big man, who's a nice player.
Who did nothing against Vanderbilt,
by the way. But hurt, really hurt IU and hurt Thomas Bryant.
Nothing against Vanderbilt, just so we're aware of that. Exactly. And then, so your front court is Thomas Bryant, Colin Hartman, OG, Juwan Morgan. That to me, John.
Corey Williams.
I put Troy as a wing player for me. I'm talking about front court where you can go battle guys underneath the basket. Troy's
and
not about it. I just think that they need some help up there. They're not going to get it. You can't sign any free agents at this time. You can't make any trades. But it's too young for me, and I think that's going to be the problem when you get up against the juniors and seniors of the league.
Bielfeld is what he is. I mean, and it's a great addition to this team.
But he's a six-man at Michigan.
The whole question still is Thomas Bryant. I mean, is Thomas Bryant a 22-minute a night guy who's going to be in foul trouble occasionally?
Bielfeld, 35-minute.
We've only seen two games,
a night guy.
Because Bielfeld isn't that.
Right.
I mean, he's not the guy you're going to rely on up front.
Indiana, when they move the basketball and make the extra pass and take high-percentage shots, is going to be very difficult to beat, I think. I don't think it. If anybody denies that, they're not watching basketball. That is the absolute truth. John, what happens on the night when your jump shot's not going and you got to get points? Where do you go then? We've never really seen that development, even in the Cody Zeller era. There's never been that huge focus on the post. You didn't even see it with Noah Vonleh. When the jump shot's not going, Indiana's way is to keep shooting it, not to do something differently, and I think that's hurt them in some of these games, especially on the road.
Well, I think you've got guys that can get to the basket. You've got Troy. You've got Zell. I don't know. I would be very disappointed if Yogi doesn't take the ball to the basket more this year than he ever has before, because there's not a point guard in this league that can keep him out of the lane.
Same with Troy Williams. I mean, Troy Williams can get in there for once.
But Yogi's a point guard, and he's a senior. He's strong enough. He can take a bounce and a hit and still make a basket.
He is Indiana's toughest player by 50 miles.
Yeah, it's not close.
50. It's not even close. And, again, the good news is he has options to move the basketball around. It's just – John, you're right. If this team lived at the free throw line, they would be impossible to beat. Mm-hmm. But the first two – here you go. Dave and I sat here on Monday night, and you're at the game. I'm going to walk you through the first 45 seconds of the game. Indiana dribbles around. Thomas Bryant takes a three-pointer from the top of the key. Ball gets knocked out of bounds, side out Indiana. Pass to Troy Williams, top of the key, takes one dribble, pulls up from 18 feet and shoots it. That's all you need to know about Indiana right now. That's their first two offensive shots of the game. That's what it was. But Troy made his. If it goes in, mm-hmm. It's hallelujah, it's great. How many times have we said that? If it goes in, it's great. But, again, that's the next hurdle for me is they can score with anybody. They can score points. It's how do you beat teams doing it?
Ask you a question. When the Big Ten pecking order of teams right now, where do you put Indiana in the top
five? Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen. I mean, after Michigan beating Kansas on a neutral court last year, Michigan State beating Kansas, and they have to go up top. Maryland beats a good Georgetown team in a big
Maryland,
game last
Maryland
night.
Michigan State have to be at the top.
I think they're up there, no question about it. Purdue's front court.
How good is
if
Purdue?
If Hammonds comes back,
Purdue
I don't
could
know.
Be very good.
Purdue could be.
How good is Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Michigan?
Yeah.
I think of the next steps.
Well, Wisconsin just got beat by what?
Sure.
Western Illinois.
Didn't beat. Yeah. We didn't play. It was a
Western Illinois, yep.
Yeah, I mean, those things happen. Michigan State's lost to Lake Superior State before and went to the national championship game. I mean, it happens. So I haven't seen enough of it yet. And we're not going to learn anything about Indiana. We're going to learn a little bit more tomorrow night against Creighton. But we're not going to learn anything until the semifinals against Maui. The Wake Forest team is down. Wake Forest is a really good player that's jumped up. He's getting about 20 a game. That's surprising. But they've thrown guys off the team. Guys have been hurt.
We'll know something about them if they can't get it done against Creighton and Wake Forest. But I get what you're saying. I mean, the talent's going to be much better against Vanderbilt and Kansas if it goes that far.
The hardest part is doing what? Is freshmen growing up on the road in the Big Ten and playing defense. And that's the toughest thing Indiana's going to have to deal with. And when the ball doesn't go in from the jump shot, do they settle for jump shots or do they start taking the ball to the hoop? They have all the tools, John, to be very dangerous. I agree with you 100%. I don't think they're deep enough in the front court to push over that, and I will love to be proven wrong.
Well, let's hope they prove you wrong, Glass.
Amen. You think I want to sit here and talk every Monday and Wednesday about
how... No, I don't think you want to do that. You're trying to be objective.
Look, they're better up front than they were last year, but how good really is it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the question. How good is it long-term, and is Thomas Bryant... I mean, with a freshman, again, he got handled a bit the other night by the big guy.
Thomas Bryant... who's walking around in a boot and they're regulating his minutes. Why is he in a game when you're up 40 against Western Illinois? Come on. You can't have it both ways.
I don't understand the boot thing. I think it was,
if it's protected, wrap him in bubble wrap.
Is it an UGG? UGG boots?
Yeah, it's tied in from Tom Brady.
But John, we got to let you go. Thanks for the phone call.
I don't want to sit here on Mondays and Wednesdays and tell you that. But what happens is when we did this in the closed-up season last year, what happened in all those games when Indiana lost? They couldn't even get the lead in the last 10 minutes. Yep. And they're bringing back the same guys, and they're adding a couple young ones to do that. You know what? Great teams don't come by very often. Where did John have to go?
Mm-hmm. 93. That's 22 years ago. Yeah.
That's a long time
ago. And that team is full of talent.
And again, I'm not disagreeing with John here. I respect John's opinion. He's called the show for 100 years. He knows what he's talking about. But you can't. I don't think it's fair to these guys to throw them in
because
I don't think they're that deep. But John made you why.
They've got a lot of offensive potential.
They do.
They do not have the defensive potential of too many teams.
And if this was the...
is it good enough?
If this was the NBA, I think they'd be great. But you got it in the Big Ten, things slow down. Guess what you don't do in the last 5 minutes of a Big Ten game? Fast break, run, hustle, get out and transition.
It
doesn't happen.
And that's where they're comfortable.
And that's where they star.
Yep.
That's where they play great. These games in the Big Ten, when you get under the flags timeout at 8, game stops. And you better be organized in the half court, and you better be organized in the half court defensively. I don't care if it's 35 seconds, 30 seconds on the shot clock. Coaches, possessions dwindle, and you've got to capitalize when you've got the ball.
We'll talk about the work they have to do to get there, and it starts with tomorrow night against Creighton when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Hoosiers play Creighton tomorrow night. They've won two games so far, officially, Eastern Illinois and Austin Peay.
Dominating the OVC. Dominating.
Yeah, we're big time there.
We got that conference wrapped up.
The Gavitt Games is this week, and so that's the matchup against Creighton. Creighton team with a lot of freshmen, but most of their top players, top minutes, top scoring, et cetera, are upperclassmen and very guard-oriented. They do have a couple big guys on their team, but very much a guard-oriented team. They go about five deep with guys that that are listed as guards, 6'3 or smaller.
Positionless basketball is the way to go.
Well, it's the size that I look at. The Hoosiers are going to have a little bit of a size advantage, but it's not dramatic. And, you know, you've seen two games, and the second game you saw the IU really get taken out on the front court by Austin Peay. And so if you want to think about what good this front court is throughout the course of the year, that doesn't necessarily make you feel all warm and fuzzy about it. In this game, you're going to find out how the guards match up between you know, our guards and another team that relies on them.
Well, Creighton, Indiana's going to be looking in the mirror, because if you've seen the Creighton scores the first two games, it's 93 points and 103 points. They get up and down the floor. They score at an alarming pace. They did it against – is Mike Davis at Texas Southern? That was their first victim, and then they handled somebody 102-something, or 103-something. So they're scoring a ton of points.
There's a pair of Texas teams, UTSA.
There you go, San Antonio. So they got three transfers in the lineup that will help them. They only have one starter back. The guys that are played some minutes last year, but I think they only had 64 games returning that were started last year by guys on this team. So they're finding out some new things. But what do? They shoot it well. They run up and down the court. They move the basketball. And I read a stat, Dave, last year they had 29 dunks in 33 games. This year they have 29 dunks in six games. So they've fixed some issues from a 14 and 18 team. That was the first year after Doug McDermott, the coach's son, the player of the year, left town. So they've tried to put that back together. But again, they're going to shoot a lot of threes. They're going to get up and down the court. And guess who likes to do that as well? This game should be 120 to 110 and, with 5 minutes left to go.
Well, that'd be fun.
It's a different game of athletes. Creighton is in the Big East. The Gavitt Games is essentially the Big East Big Ten Challenge, but it's got a fancier name to it. Mm-hmm. And obviously Creighton struggled last year, 14 and 18. Why? Well, because they lost a quality player like McDermott and tried to put some guys together. And now they've gone the transfer route, so they had these three kids sitting out last year, had a chance to practice all last year, and now they're playing big minutes. I think one's getting 14, one's getting 13, one's getting 10 and 7 as an assist guy. So, again, you got point guards that can push it. You got guys that can dunk the basketball. Now you're going to see a different body type. The transfers were from Nevada and from somewhere on the East Coast. Not junior colleges or things like that. They're from four-year programs. So now you're going to see some bigger bodies, Dave. The Big East basketball, get a little stronger, get a little bigger. You get a little bit older and mature. Mm-hmm. And no offense to Western Illinois, but the kid that was playing point guard was about 5'5", 118 pounds. Yeah. And that's not – that's
Thomas Bryant almost killed him.
That's not going to be a reflection of the things you see. So Indiana's schedule is ramping up in the right direction. You had, obviously, the exhibition games that gave you different looks, especially with more mature players, obviously. Then you've got the two layups to get things started, to get the building open, make sure the nets still work and the scoreboard gets to triple digits. And now you're into it. I'm going to say a power conference in basketball.
It is. The Big East qualifies. The Big East still is. Yeah,
it is.
It went through a lot of changes, yeah. So it's brought some teams like Butler and Creighton back up to it.
And you want to know who had more of attendance last year, Indiana or Creighton? Look it up. Creighton. They're not going to be. They're used to playing in front of 16,000, 17,000.
Yeah.
This isn't going to bother them. But what's going to bother them is Indiana's ability to move the basketball, their ability to get up and down the court, and Creighton's going to run with them, Dave. So what am I going to look for tomorrow night? Simple, same thing I look for every night. What decisions are being made with the basketball? What shot selection is Indiana taking? Are they getting the best shot, or are they taking the first kind of good shot? Because when Indiana makes that extra pass, and I'm going to harp on this, but if you go back and watch any of the tape, if you go back and watch any of the highlights, it's always the extra pass that leads to the play.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you want to pull up from 18 feet and make one out of five? You can. You're not going to be good teams doing that. I don't know how good Creighton is. They're 14 and 18 last year, like we mentioned. They've got some things coming together. They've scored 180 points in two games. Mm-hmm. That's they don't put the ball in the basket for you because you got nice uniforms.
196.
That's a lot.
Yeah, to 148 against a pair of Texas teams. Look, they face the same level, if
there
not lesser, than we have
and
so far.
Put up the same kind of numbers.
But they are, you know, they are a big-time team, as you said, from a standpoint of at least a big league. Again, to me, the interesting matchup here becomes the guards. They are not a front team. They've got a 6'10 guy and a 7-foot guy that play. But the 7-footer has been around there 4 years and is just now getting over 15 minutes a game, and that's only two games in. So up front, I mean, Thomas Bryant should have opportunities here. He shouldn't have the same challenge that he had from the guy from Austin Peay. So the entire matchup to me becomes, I mean, it's always what's he going to do against penetration on the defensive side. But it becomes, to me, it becomes that side. And from a defensive standpoint, the question to me will be, does this team show up defensively in a game where they're better athletes than the snooze games when the place is half full, even though they list 17,472 people in Assembly Hall? So is this particular game, are they more focused in on stopping penetration? Because you know Creighton's going to throw five guys at you that want to get to the basket and want to shoot it also. So this is a better matchup,
yeah,
certainly for this defense.
And that's the next step you look at from the young kids of Indiana, who can play at the speed. Is Thomas Bryant ready for the speed level yet? Or is this the game that passes him by and you've got to use him in bit minutes because the pace is going to be frantic, looks like. These teams both want to get up and down the court and go. Is Bryant a part of that? And the other thing that is huge for Indiana's offense, in my opinion, is, and I've told you this before since we've had so many big men here, when big men don't touch the ball on offense, they start to space it out a little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe they're not remembering to run or their assignments or anything else, but you got to keep them involved. And that's the next step to becoming a really good team, is you're going to put your will on Creighton because you should be better than them. You're at home. How do you choose to put your will on Creighton? Is it by out sprinting them, running them off the court, saying, hey, let's go to 110, 105, let's do that? Or is it, hey, they're going to go small and try to run, and we're going to punish them for that. We're going to play Biefeld and Bryant, and we're going to bang the ball in and shoot layups all day and not worry about making 20-footers. It's a very interesting chess match how this works. And it doesn't have to be that way for 40 minutes. You can play the TV timeout to TV timeout, possession by possession. So it doesn't have to be Bryant plays 38 minutes, runs up and down the court the whole night. It doesn't have to be that way. But what does this Indiana team want to be? They can put it on you. They hit 15 shots in a row the other night, Dave. 15 shots in a row.
In a row.
1-5. And the stretch was 12 minutes long. And they missed a layup to end the streak. Think about that for a minute. The competition level will clearly go up with Creighton. I don't think you're not getting into that UCLA who lost to Monmouth.
Yeah.
Wake Forest perhaps end of the pool. I think maybe Creighton on the upside of a rebuild. Obviously they peaked out with McDermott, went down last year and are on their way back up. I don't think this will be the test, but a team that can score at the level Indiana scored at against similar opponents. Is it about defense tomorrow night? Nah.
No.
You're going to have to score, it sounds like.
Well, yes, but I mean, isn't this the kind of team you want to start to show some defensive attention to? I mean, again, to me, I don't care all that much if you play defense against Austin Peay and Eastern Illinois. Because as you said, you're going to out-talent them. They're snoozers for the fans. Why aren't they? I mean, they're obviously going to be snoozers a little bit for the players also. These are the games that get their attention. I mean, these are the ones where the guys, Yogi Ferrell, James Blackman, they get their attention. So do they show up then, and is their attention focused on having to shoot 12 threes apiece, or is their attention on trying to stop the penetration from a pretty good set of guards on the other side?
Great basketball teams do it all, and that's the next step. If they want to be in this top 15 for most of the year, you're going to have to beat good teams. The interesting thing for me is the speed and the physicality of the game, because it's going to jump, because Austin Peay didn't look all that physical, especially in the backcourt, and then in Western Illinois, I don't think was anywhere near that level as well. So it's one step closer. It's one step up in the right direction. And the fans get a little bit of a better show tomorrow night. And obviously the players get a little bit of a better show before it's off to Maui.
Isaiah Zierden is a 6'2 junior.
Two knee surgeries.
For Creighton, 19.5 points a game, shoots 44% on three-pointers.
Yep.
So keep an eye
Look
out
up how many
him.
Minutes he's played, too.
45 minutes in two games.
He's got 57
That's
points
not
or something.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Some quick programming notes for you. Tomorrow night we have NFL football, Tennessee at Jacksonville. 8 o'clock is the pregame and 8:30 is the kickoff for that. Saturday we've got Michigan at Penn State. That's a noon kick, so we'll have pregame at 11:30. And then Sunday the Colts are back on the air. 12 o'clock is the pregame, 1 o'clock is the kickoff as they go down to Atlanta. And we have the evening game also, and I'll have to look up exactly what that game is. It's Chargers and somebody.
On Sunday night?
On Sunday night.
It is the Chargers and the
Chiefs.
Chiefs.
There no,
no
it's,
Chiefs. I'm looking at it right here.
No, it's got to be somebody else. Then.
It's right here. Colts.
We must have, that must be the afternoon game then. The second game of the day. I thought
it's
it was
the late
game.
Yeah. I just read the schedule. Where'd it go?
That's my fault. Either
What's
way, we'll
today?
Have it for you. So stick around. Sunday, WGC.
Yeah, it's Chiefs and Chargers. 11:27, 7:30 p.m. pregame.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's the Colts will go at noon for the pregame.
Uh-huh.
Colts are done at 4. We'll take the Colts postgame show and boom, right into NBC Sports and the late game.
There you go.
So all day football, how it should be on Thanksgiving week. So, and then a triple header on Thanksgiving Thursday, baby.
A lot of football,
baby.
As we mentioned. 333-2665 is the phone number. After the Hoosiers play Creighton tomorrow night, a step up in class over Eastern Illinois and Austin Peay. Do they take another step up in class against Wake Forest? It'll be 5 o'clock p.m. tip-off Monday, so we'll be coming on the air 6 o'clock Monday at halftime of that game. So far, I mean, this is an ACC versus a Big East. Each team had their struggles last year. Danny Manning starting his second season off. Is it yet another step up? And when you go out to Maui, I mean, what are you looking for out here in Maui? A lot of people seem to think the Wake Forest game is already a game that the Hoosiers need to win or will win, and they're already looking forward to Vanderbilt, which is, you know, again,
which
people
is
starting to presume all these things. It'd be great if you get
far. That's what happens when you see the upside of this team. When the team rattles off 15 possessions in a row where they score a basket, or 15 shots in a row, sorry, that's even more incredible. But those are the things, that's when people start dreaming out loud. They think, wow, this is great. Hey, remember that big Ottawa team that came in here that everybody, hey, they beat us last year? What did Indiana do to them? They beat them pretty handily, right?
Yeah.
Then they struggled with Bellarmine, but don't worry about that. Look what they did to Ottawa. You can pick and choose all you want, folks. What I'm looking for from this team is consistency, being good every night out, getting better defensively, beating teams you should beat. I'm not saying you got to win every game by 20 points. That's not fair to them. It's not fair. It's not fair to compare them, I don't think, to great teams of the early 90s either. They're not ready for that just yet. Because last year, Dave, every time they were ready to do something, guess what they did? Nothing.
Nothing.
They were 5-1 to start the league. Remember that?
Yep.
What'd they finish? 5-10. They finished 9-9 in the league, won one, lost one in the Big Ten tournament, and lost in the – do the math. Again – this team hasn't got to that level. They haven't played themselves to that level yet. So I'm looking for in the tight game, how do things work out? I'm looking for a team that in their last six losses of the season last year didn't lead or tie the game except for one time. Those are things what do you mean? You're done 10 minutes left to go? You've got to find a way out of it.
Wake Forest won Sunday at Bucknell by 8. They won over UMBC, Baltimore
Maryland,
County.
Baltimore County.
By 5 at Wake Forest.
And that's
on
why
the
people are probably also telling
they
you they
play
should win.
Tonight against Richmond, 7 o'clock. So they'll tip off here
the
shortly.
Spiders.
If you want to check that out on ESPN 3.
The Spiders.
So, I mean, none of that's going to tell you what they're going to look like against Indiana necessarily.
Do teams get up or down to play Indiana, Dave?
No, they get up.
There you go. And I don't want to say it's teams' bowl games or anything like that, but that's a big
because they don't have those in basketball.
Big angle to get teams going is Indiana. Hey, Wake Forest had a fly over there. Guess where Indiana plays really well, Dave? 17th Street Assembly Hall.
By the way, Wake Forest's leading scorer is also their leading rebounder. 19.5 points per game, 14.5 rebounds per game.
Sounds
6'9". That'll clearly be a challenge inside.
Threat. Sure. But Indiana, we know they play well at Assembly Hall. We know they like the backdrop there. We know the crowd helps them out.
Yep.
It's games in neutral courts. It's games on away games. How do you guys pull yourself out of that? How do you keep it together? Dave, they're going to figure out when games get tight. Here's what happens when you play Western Illinois or Eastern Illinois in Austin Peay. You don't you can't replicate or get into, hey, there's 3 minutes left to go and it's a 4-point game. What do we do? You can do that in practice till you're blue in the face, but you're playing in a bandbox gym in Maui.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a good IU crowd out there. You always do. But guess who all the neutrals are rooting for? Ain't you. They'll be rooting for Wake Forest. So it's interesting. You want to see this team grow up. You want to see how they handle the pressure. You want to see how they handle 3 games, Dave, not playing in their gymnasium. And, again, all those teams out there are going to play 3 games in 3 days, not on their home floor. And who's best equipped to win it? If they don't win Maui, it's not the end of the world. And if they win it, doesn't mean they're going to win a national championship. So let's see how this team starts. Do you want your team peaking in late November, or do you want your team peaking in late February,
I'll
early March?
March.
There you go. And that's, I think that's the simple rule.
Well, and, again, looking at the Wake Forest team a little bit again, to me, we've talked about the weakness of this IU team clearly in the backcourt and their shooting. This is where their team is best on the offensive side. Inside is the question mark. And do they have some players there to help out? Absolutely. But the question mark is Thomas Bryant. I mean, as a freshman, what's he going to do? God forbid he ends up injured at some point, you know, further than he already is. But how's he going to react to this? He didn't have a phenomenal game against Austin Peay. This Devin Thomas kid has been playing 28 minutes a night since he got at Wake Forest 4 years ago, and he averages 14 and a half rebounds a game right now and is leading them in scoring. So another challenge for Thomas
Absolutely
Bryant.
Right.
All of the action on the outside could still end up getting you beat if you end up having a gaping hole in the middle if Thomas Bryant can't quickly figure out how to compete.
Well,
it's a lot to ask for him, there's no question, but that's the position he's in right now.
And there's
now.
Another way to skin that cat. If that guy's guarding Bryant, get Bryant the ball inside, let him get in some
absolutely,
foul problems.
Absolutely.
So that's my point. Pull if you settle for jump shots, if that's your, if you forget about your big fellow, remember that can go both ways on that.
Yep.
So it's going to be an interesting challenge. The challenge tomorrow night, great. Get your track shoes on, Dave. There's going to be my over-under on 3-pointers tomorrow will be 33 shot.
Between the two teams.
At halftime.
Or by each team.
total.
This team has 40 assists. Are they unselfish?
They're very unselfish. 40 assists lead to how many baskets?
Well, yeah.
One assist is a basket, so how many
points? 80 points.
Yeah, it's 80 minimum. That's none of them are threes.
Is it unselfish, or right now are they just doing the right thing?
D, all the above. They have, number one, and this is important.
And that's a loaded question.
They have better offensive players than they had last year.
Yep.
So when you pass it to a guy and he finishes, instead of traveling, throwing it off the top of the backboard,
right.
or making a bad decision,
right.
that helps.
That counts.
You have better shooters. You have better interior players. Yes, I agree with all that. And when you move the basketball, you will move it more when the guy catches it, scores, and points to you and says, good pass.
Three. We got to take off. That's what the music means for us tonight. We'll be back Monday, so tune in then. We'll recap a whole bunch of stuff going on over the weekend and lead you through that IU-Wake Forest game on Monday night. So we'll talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.